right, let's hear it for the LaRosa family, huh? Especially Ezra. Just want to make sure, Timmy, okay, you got the right candles. If you screw that up, Jesus doesn't come, right? Just kidding. You know, when you hear that, you especially, that text, not only does it bring a lot of other memories, but it's hard to not hear it in Linus's voice, right? At least some of it. So I'm going to show that to you in a second, because the title of the message is Fear Not, which you heard the angel say to the shepherds. And so a lot of you already know this answer. In fact, Ezra was going to act it out, but I told him he couldn't because it's part of my sermon, all right? But a lot of you don't share it. I want, if you've never known this before, I want you to notice as he says it, what does Linus do when he gets to that part of fear not? All right, I'll ask you afterwards. Let's play.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That look on Charlie Brown's face was me as a kid, the entire childhood. Just very confused most of the time. Now you know what you're going to do when you go home, right? You got to watch this probably. So what's the answer? What did Linus do when he's got the fear not? He dropped his security blanket, right? I wish I had a blue. My son Nathan, who's now in his 20s, but when he was a kid, he had a blue blanket. I don't know where that went, but I would have brought it. But it's exactly a security. But so for Linus, just like any kid, it's like security because life's scary. There's things that make us afraid, and it's not just kids. In fact, the problems get bigger and scarier the older we get, and so life can be anxiety-causing. It can be depressing. It can be hard, and with all the good things too, but we have this anxiety because the world can be hard. But then when we hear the gospel, not just an angel saying, fear not, why don't you fear? Do you not need to fear? And it's because of the good news that this Jesus, this Christ, has been born to you today. So that whatever anxiety, whatever fear you brought in here today, or those who are online with us, right, that you don't need to be afraid because of the gospel, the good news. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for everyone who's with us in person or online because of sickness or snow or some other reason that they're tuned in and still a part of us. And I pray that whatever we brought in here with us, that we would leave here, as Tom already prayed, closer to you or knowing you. And so, Lord, I ask that you would get me out of the way. Your word through your spirit would resonate deep in our hearts. And we ask this humbly in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Hey, I'm really thankful for those of you who have texted me or tagged me on posts, because you've been really keeping an eye out for the neighborhood and my rules about lawn Christmas decorations, right? Right? And I'm in a little bit of a dilemma. The committee's still meeting about something. I'm going to ask for your help in a second. But the first rule is tried and true. Like, you cannot do that, right? Especially if you have a manger scene. Like, I don't need to be driving by your house and it looks like, you know, the Magi and Joseph had a rough night and they're passed out in your lawn. We don't need that. Right? So that's out. You got to keep those inflated. All right? But the second one was just straight up laziness. Like, you can't do something like this. Like, you got to pick some stuff up, something. But here's the dilemma. What happens when it's not laziness? You choose to mix, so you dress up the old with Christmas. Like, something like that. Probably not good, right? But I'm still kind of considering. It's not lazy. It's creative, but it's, I don't know. You can let me know, all right? But that might be a third rule. You just got to get rid of it, right? Not very Christmassy. But what is Christmassy are these passages. And let me get that off of the screen. How about that? That'll be good. That'll be get put on our website or something. I got to check out this church. Wow. Okay. Yeah. We don't always, as you know, if you've been with us, we don't always go through these passages every Advent. I don't want them to get tired and stale. We always celebrate Advent and the candles and all that, but we don't always preach through it. But every once in a while, you got to come back to it. There is a comfort in these scriptures, but it's also challenging because no matter who you are, what your church background, I'll bet you've at least watched Charlie Brown or you've heard this before, maybe many, many times. It's so easy to just let it kind of just be traditional, but it's in God's word for a reason. In fact, this passage that was read so great by the La Rosa family and then part of it by Linus, this passage might be one of the most shining examples of what the gospel is. And so that's what we need to see and how do we respond to it. Right, so what's happening is in the same region, so that's near Bethlehem, because the first part of that chapter, Luke talked about Jesus being born. So nearby, there's these shepherds out in the field, and they're keeping watch over their flock by night. And so Scott Brundage would be very angry with me if I'm talking shepherds, actual shepherd staff. Don't fall asleep. I got long reach, right, Ralph? You be careful now, all right? So the shepherds are out there, and the thing about shepherds is they get really romanticized, and for good reason. You know, David was a shepherd, Psalm 23, the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus told a parable, the good shepherd, so it makes sense. But you can't forget that in this culture, in this time, shepherds as a class were as almost as low as you could go. If it was a ladder rung, they were just above lepers. So you got that going for you, right? And so you couldn't, you were with unclean animals, you were often wandering around, you couldn't go to synagogue or temple, you were considered unclean. Shepherds had the reputation of stealing. They had a classic saying, what is thine is mine, you know. They could just take a five-finger discount because they're roaming around. And that doesn't mean, though, that these shepherds are like that. We don't know. The Bible does not tell us. So it's pointless in arguing that, but what we do know is they are part of one of the lowest classes of people. They are one of the last groups of people you would expect an angel to come, which is what happens in verse 9, right? It says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, right? And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great joy. No, not yet. And that's important, right? Like you come, that light represents the glory and the holiness of God. This angel is reflecting God's glory. And these shepherds are face to face with God's glory. And when that happens, like I've had people say, oh, when I meet God, I'm going to ask him. You're not going to ask him anything. Not at first. When you come face to face with his, it's one thing to talk about his glory, but when you experience it, you are brought low. And these shepherds realize we are nothing before you. And they thought this, your first instinct is, this is going to crush us. This is going to crush us. So the first thing the angel has to do is assure them. So the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great, not fear, joy. Turns from fear to joy. That will be for all the people. So a lot going on here, but first you just see simply good news. That's all gospel means. I know we use it for different things, books of the Bible, different, like it become a very religious word. It means, translated, good news, the good news. It's the Greek word is where we get our English word evangelism from, which is not some scary program. It is to proclaim the good news, right? And so he said, the angel's like, hey, the glory of God has not come to be present with you to crush you, but to bring good news of great joy. What is that good news? I'm glad you asked. He says, for unto you, for you, shepherds, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So he's born in Bethlehem, that's the city of David, and it gives him three titles. Savior, so that means you need to be saved from something. They might have thought Rome or some circumstance in their life, but it's from themselves, their own sin. The other one is The Christ. That's the Messiah, the anointed one the Jews have been waiting for a long time. And then lastly, it is the Lord himself. They would have, this takes a while for them to really understand, but this saving is so important and so magnificent, it has to be God himself to come in the flesh, like we talked about with Emmanuel. The Lord will come. But remember, let me back up a step. He said, this is for all the people. Now, what does this mean? He's talking about Gentiles, maybe, but what I think it really means is he's talking to shepherds. And again, you can romanticize shepherds all you want, but these shepherds knew it ain't for us. If an angel's coming, good news is coming. It's going to come to the religious leaders, it's going to come to the kings, it's going to come to the Bible scholars. It's not going to come to us. And he says, no. This is good news for all the people. And so if you came in here feeling low, you came in here feeling unworthy, you came here feeling like you're not, this is not, you're not enough for this, you, whatever that feeling might be, welcome, you're home. That's who we are. We're shepherds. Or lepers. Jesus spent a lot of time with them too. And so, he gives that good news that he was born. And says, and this will be a sign for you. This is how you know what I'm not lying to you. You're going to go to Bethlehem. You're going to find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. You're not going to find a lot of babies lying in a feeding trough for animals. So when you see that, you're going to like, oh, I wasn't just eating a bad taco, as Pastor Josh is clearly excited about. Instead, I saw an angel, and he promised this. It's the Lord God himself, right? So it is God. But he's going to be born in the most humble way possible. In fact, what you could say is the most human way possible. Fully God, fully human. Born into a humble, poor family where he's literally going to be laid in a place where animals eat. He's going to live a life, a sinless life, yes, but a life where he has nowhere to lay his head. And he is going to die the most humble death on a sinner's cross. Fully God, but fully human, so that we might be saved. Born unto you, the greatest gift there ever was. And suddenly with that one angel comes a multitude, a heavenly host, an army, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. This is not the peace from an absence of war, at least in armies and wars like we think. This is a peace with our Creator God, who we destroyed because of our sin, because of this Christ who will die for our sin. We now have that gap swallowed up, and we have peace. And we have peace vertically, which then translates to peace horizontally. And so this good news, this gospel, is to bring you great joy and peace, a wellness with God. So that fear not is the gospel. It brings us peace and joy. This news came to shepherds. As far as I know, they didn't stop being shepherds. Why do I point that out? Because if you just think the gospel is for some kind of peace and happiness in this life, you're going to be very disappointed. God does have blessings and good things, but this life hurts. They didn't stop being shepherds and all that brings. I get a special kind of rage that I probably shouldn't feel, but I do, when I see the gospel preached is some kind of health and wealth nonsense that's for here that usually makes pastors rich and more desperate people more desperate. It will just leave you giving up because you're like, I thought I was supposed to be better if I just believed more. No. The gospel is eternal. I mean, I was thinking about this the other day. I've told this story before. It's been a while, though. It was in this room, actually, a number of years ago. I was walking through, and There was an older guy, and he was just sitting there, and you could tell he just looked overwhelmed. And I invited him in, and we talked, and he was saying to me, you know, I'm just here because I'm desperate to not drink. I'm trying to stay sober. And I could smell the alcohol all on him. And I didn't know if he was lying to himself, to me, both. But we just talked, and I shared the gospel with him, and he came to church, and we met a few times. I got a call by someone who knew him and said he was in the hospital dying of liver failure, and I went to visit him, and he couldn't speak, but he could listen. He could see the tears in his eyes, and I shared the gospel again, and I said, man, you don't have to even be able to speak. You just have to believe this in your heart, and I just prayed that prayer with him, and I hope that he prayed it, and he put his faith in Christ, and I'll see him again, where his struggle will be over. But here's the point. If the gospel is for this life, he still died. It'll be 13-year anniversary this January, and I remember because it's the last thing I talked with my mom about before she passed. I would always call my mom when I was upset about something. Kids, that never changes, just so you know. And I remember calling her about this, and it was a young woman. She was in her early 20s, and she had grown up in a Christian home. She knew the gospel. She said she believed it. But she came in, and it was almost like I could see a demon on her shoulders. And she was shared with me. She was addicted to really serious drugs. And she was trying. She'd been in and out of rehab, the whole thing, right? And so she'd call me once in a while. We'd meet. She came to church trying to help her. One day around Christmas time, it's around this time, 13 years ago, she came in and we were talking and she said, you know, I'm not doing well, but I'm going to go over to my sister's house. She has kids. We're going to bake cookies, Christmas cookies. And I said, that's a really good idea. You shouldn't be alone right now. And she left. And I didn't think much of it. And 2 days later, I got an email from her mom, who I'd never met at the time, saying that her dad had found her overdosed. And in fact, I probably was the last person she ever saw. She never made it to her sister's. What good is the gospel if it's just for here and now? Last year, had a rough Christmas. We had two different families, had to share the gospel, burying young children. What good's the gospel if you're supposed to just be happy and peaceful all the time right now? But that's not what it is. It's eternal, guys. Yes, God will bless. There will be happy times. I'm not saying that. I pray for many of those. But if you're here to think, like, if I believe, then this will that, and you're just going to be disappointed. God saved you from so much more. Eternally. I'll bet, you know, just kind of knowing, there's some people who walked in or who couldn't even make it, just like, I'll tune in online, but I can't. You got all kinds of things that are the opposite of peace, right? You got anxieties, or you got frustrations or depression or whatever it is, right? Feels the opposite of peace. I bet some of you walked in today and you have in your life right now a beef with someone. Older people, that means you're in an argument, just so you know, okay? You got that, like you got that going on, and maybe it's their fault, maybe it's yours, probably both, right? And it just doesn't feel peaceful at all. The worst one, you walked in here today and you hate yourself. Maybe you don't put it in that language, but you've disappointed yourself, you've messed up, and you're just like, ugh. Maybe you're angry with God. All of these things seem the opposite of peace. So he brought us peace, right? Shalom in the Hebrew, a wellness with God? Well, sure, that's why you need the gospel. Not just those who are unbelievers right now, all of those of us who are believers. You need, I'm constantly trying to beat this, not physically, into you, spiritually speaking. That's why you preach the gospel to yourself every day. You need it. You need it every day, multiple times a day. The truth of the gospel is what brings you peace. Because listen, If you are in here and said, I hate myself, but the Creator God so loved you, he gave his only son to die for you, how dare you hate you? He doesn't hate you. He loves you. So why do you hate you? Right? It's a humbling thing to say, man, God loves me that much. He's got a plan for me. Or you got that fight with someone else. Like it's hard for me to not forgive you if I remember, oh, yeah, how much he forgave me. If I stop thinking about the peace from the gospel, I start to get a little bit prideful. Like, well, I got my life a little bit cleaned up. Like, that happens like that, doesn't it? But the more you sit in the gospel, he was born unto me for an eternal peace, the more you realize I have a right relationship with him, and now I can have a right relationship with you. Great joy, same thing. I bet the shepherds, maybe not, but I'll bet they're like a lot of us. They confused joy with happiness. So easy to do that. To think, oh, all right, I'm Christian now. Everything's going to be happy. Sometimes it gets worse. I mean, think about Mary. Suddenly pregnant. I was like, oh, my goodness, right? Like, her whole life now has to basically be a sacrifice. Joseph, too. Like, it can get worse. So I think of, like, joy and happiness like roots in a tree. You know what's a beautiful tree, especially this time of year, is a birch tree, right? You make art out of birch trees. I don't, but you might. I remember one day walking in the woods years ago and seeing there a storm had happened or something had happened. Tons of birch trees had fallen down, and for some weird reason, I got nerdy and I looked it up. And birch trees have very, very shallow roots. They're beautiful. They're like happiness. But man, they're easily knocked over. Oak trees, they can be annoying because those acorns hit my house and cars and the leaves never fall. Get down here before Christmas. But those roots, man, good luck pushing that thing over. That's joy. Right? Happiness, like I want you to be happy. Maybe you're like killing it. It's like, man, things are going great with the kids, everything in the family, everything, right? And all it takes is one prognosis. All it takes is losing someone you love that happiness can go like that. Job's going great, and then you get a new boss, and there goes that. Right? Or you get laid off unexpectedly, or what? That's how quickly the birch trees of happiness can fall. But great joy is like an oak tree, no matter what storm is in your life, because great joy is not dependent on these circumstances. They're eternal circumstances. It sinks deep. Those roots sink deep into the manger of Bethlehem, into the cross at Calvary, into the rich man's empty tomb. Those roots sink deep into the ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit coming, and they sink deep into the fact that he's coming again. And he will set up his kingdom to which all who know him will be a part of. Wow. Great joy. That light turned on in your car like it did me coming up here? I can have joy. Happiness? Probably not. Probably not a lot of happy news for that. But great joy. Right, that whatever it is, the good, you have joy because this child is born unto us today. Great joy. And so, as we look at that, and we look at the rest of this, it's just simply a response. How do we respond to the gospel? And I want to reiterate, this isn't just for those of you who don't yet know Jesus. If you're like, I'm already a Christian, I can tune this out. Wrong. You can see this, and there's ways of responding to the gospel. First, we see the angels went away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said to one another, let's go. Let's go over to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So you hear it and seek, and you don't make excuses. You're like, yeah, I'll get religious when I'm older. Whew. Don't do that. I'll consider the things of God after what? After, like, they could have said that. I'll get someone to watch the sheep. I got to feed the crunchy. No. Go. If this is true, how important it is. Right? And so, it says in verse 16, they went with haste. Quick. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So it was confirmed. There's that baby that the angel said. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it, more hearing, it wondered at what the shepherds told them. So they shared it. They shared it. And then verse 19. But Mary, if you're a believer, been one for a while, you're Mary. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. See, Mary already knew the gospel. The angel already visited her. An angel visited Joseph. She's pregnant as a virgin. Just saying. She could have said to the shepherds, yeah, let me tell you a thing or two. I know that already, but she didn't. She pondered it deep in her heart. Because the gospel is not a one-time thing. You ponder the magnificence of it, the amazing love, the grit. You ponder. And she would need to do that all her life. She's human. She's like, really? Is this really true? Like, that's something we all do. We ponder it. We think deeply on it. And then the shepherds returned. Notice they returned. And went back to being shepherds. Glorifying and praising God. Something had changed. It wasn't the outside. It was the inside. For all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The shepherds heard it. They received it. They believed it. They shared it. And then they worshiped all the way through it. A gospel response. It demands a response. If it's true. Or even if you're not sure it's true. This news that nobody else, nowhere else can I be saved from me, but for God who came in the flesh and died in my place, if that could even possibly be true, it demands a response. It demands more than, worry about, I don't know, I'm not really into that. It demands attention. It's too important. So what did we see? Well, first response is you got to hear it. You're here now. That's good, whether you want to be or not. And you got to keep hearing it. The shepherds heard it. Mary heard it. Joseph heard it, not for the first time. You got to keep putting yourself. If you're not sure if you believe it yet, continue to come to church, read a Bible, ask a friend, whatever it is, continue to hear it. You can always reject it, but at least hear it. And if you're already a believer, continue, as I said, hear yourself say it. What a prayer every day. Lord God, you saved me. Thank you. Is that a good way to start your day? It's going to humble you quickly. Like, I'm only me and only here because of him. And then you can ask yourself, do I really believe this? Because if I do, it changes everything. And so then you hear it, but then you seek, or in Mary's case, you ponder. The shepherds, they sought it out, right? And you got to keep seeking. Keep going. Keep listening. And if you're a believer, you keep seeking and you keep pondering. I know someone's like, Jamie, I came here, man, I really hoping you just give me a message to help me fix my marriage. And I'll just tell you, you're welcome. Because that's what the gospel does. Because where else do you learn to die to yourself for another person and decide to forgive someone that maybe they don't deserve that forgiveness? Without the gospel, you're not doing that. Loneliness, some issue with sickness or job or financial or kids or with parents or both, right? The gospel is the root. It is where we just sink into so that as we ponder it more deeply, it changes everything. And then, of course, the gospel response is to believe it. He was born unto you. He grew up, he lived a sinless life, and he died for you. Without him, you are lost and you are not at peace with God, but with him you are for all of eternity. If you've never believed that, there's nothing magical. Just put your faith. Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. And if you have, a lot of us have, like this, the more we believe, belief always brings action, doesn't it? Like back in the 1700s in Boston, when they heard, the British are coming. Like if you really believed that and you were there, you wouldn't be like, oh, wow, okay. And just stay where you were. No, you'd be like, I got to get out of here. British are coming, and I believe that, so it changes me. And you would also, by the way, share it. So if I'm a believer, or if I say I believe, and nothing about me is desiring more of Jesus, more of him, more, like, I don't want to see my words change, my life change, my thoughts. It's slow, but if I don't want that, I don't desire that, I have to ask, do I really believe this? Because belief will mean the Spirit comes in and there is change. Gospel response. And then, as I just said, we share it. That gets some of you real nervous. You're going to talk about evangelism. Don't get scared. Some of you are gifted. It's a gift of evangelism. Like, I'm so impressed with you, man. You're like on the beach. It's like hot, right? And you're sitting next to some family you don't even know. They're strangers. And they're like, whoo, it's hot here on the beach. And you're like, I know. You know where it's even hotter? In 5 minutes, you got them kneeling, accepting Christ right there in the sand. You look at the rest of us, you're like, what's wrong with you people, right? You're gifted. Don't judge the rest of us. We're not so gifted, right? If I did that, I'd end up hit with a beach ball or something, right? But we all share it. If it's this great a news, why wouldn't we? So maybe for you, it's just start praying if you don't already. Like there's somebody in my life, a coworker, family member, a person, pray. And I don't care. Well, yeah, but that person is, their life is such a mess. Beautiful. Wait, watch what Christ will do. Look for opportunities. If they actually know you care about them, they're not going to bite you. If you invite them to church or invite them to Christmas Eve service or buy them a Bible, say, hey, you know, they might just say no. It's okay. They say no. I doubt they're going to hit you, all right? And then, of course, as I said, invite. So just invite them in. Like maybe you're going to read the Bible with them. Maybe you bring them to church. And if you're here because someone invited you, you're like, you trying to make me a Christian? Yes, but I know that we can't do that. So don't, we only God can do that. All we can do is proclaim the good news to you and try to live it out and hope and pray that you will understand that he can be your Savior too. And lastly, any ministry that you do is ultimately about sharing this good news. That's what it's about. If you're working with children's church down there, yeah, half of it is, get back here, get back here. The other half is trying to share the gospel. And tonight to our teen ministry, that's what our leaders are doing, sharing the gospel. The worship team, yes, they're leading us in great songs, but ultimately helping us to see and reflect on the gospel. It's all that we do as we participate in ministry. And then lastly, all the way through it, we worship because of it. So maybe that's the only real response you need today. You're like, yeah, I'm doing all that. I'm feeling great. Okay, awesome. You can worship, can't you? You should. If the angels are like, glory to God, so should we. And we worship because of it. I'm going to, usually this is where I'll pray and we sing. And I'm going to invite our worship team, wherever they might be scattered around in the room or wherever, to come on up and set up. But while they do that, you know, this, I just wanted to share personally, this passage really very recently, it meant a lot to me because I had already been reading and thinking about it and all that. And I was having one of those moments, maybe it was a little bit of a pity party, I don't know. But it was one of those moments where I just was like, I am just such a failure at everything. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Maybe you're killing it. I don't know. And I'm not saying I was like, but just like God, really, I could be a way better husband, father, pastor, this, that. Just feeling like, why me? Like, you just use someone else. Like that kind of thing. And it was like this passage, like, came to the shepherds, Jamie. And so I remembered that. That doesn't mean you want to stay there, but I remembered, no matter how lowly you feel, beautiful, the more you can come in, the more you're invited, the more you realize it isn't you, it's him through you and in you. So I actually asked, and Lauren was already going to play this already, of course, so it always happens, but I actually asked, there's this great hymn, we actually sang it, Christmas hymn, we sang it last week, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. And I love that hymn. It's a great hymn, and it's true. As believers, we should, you know, joyful and triumphant. It's really a second coming hymn, right? Like, we're going to be joyful and triumphant. So I asked her to sing this song. Sometimes we sing around this time of year. That's actually called "O Come, All You Unfaithful." This is how it goes. The first stanza that we'll sing. O come, all you unfaithful, come weak and unstable. Come, know you are not alone. O come, barren and waiting ones. Weary of praying, come. See what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. And so, come all ye faithful, praise God. But if you're feeling especially unfaithful right now, come. You're just a shepherd. And the message is especially for you today. So I'm going to invite you, I'm going to pray, but invite you to stand if you're able to. Stand with me. Father, I pray for just everyone who's with us or online with us as well, as we're about to sing, oh God, through your Spirit, that this would be a response to the gospel. That if someone needs to believe for the first time, that they would say yes to you, Jesus. And for the rest of us, man, it would just be a time of confirming the gospel in our hearts and lives. That even if we came in knowing we're unworthy, we're unfaithful, but oh God, you are faithful. And we come and worship you because of it. Because we have peace for eternity and great joy no matter what's going on around us. And we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.